You believe that, don't you?
Amen.
Woo, give the Lord another hand of applause. Well, we're going to start a journey today that I hope excites you. I'm excited about it. I thought about putting this off for a while, but the Lord won't let me put it off. Starting today, I'm going to start preaching in the book of Revelation. And probably throughout the rest of this year, this is where I'm going to stay. Now, if you are saved, you've got nothing whatsoever to worry about. Just ride along with me and enjoy the ride.
Amen.
If you're lost, I hope I scare the pants off you.
Amen.
People watching me by the internet, if you're lost, wow, what I'm going to show you over the next several weeks. The Lord's coming. He's coming. He's coming soon. It's time to get ready. Now, in soon to be 26 years, this will be my fourth study in Revelation, but I've always taught this series. I've never what you would call preaching. When I'm preaching, obviously there are some details that I'm not going to be able to get into as deep as when I have taught this series. But we will try to look at it. We won't skip a chapter. We may skip a few verses for time reasons. But the first three chapters have nothing to do with the future. They have to do with the past and the present. And when we look at this, the first chapter is just an introduction, if you will, into some of the things we're going to be talking about. One thing that I want you to keep in mind, listen to me very, very closely. In the book of Revelation, they talk a lot about signs. Uses words like as, such as. When we get to things like this, John is trying to describe, John is the revelator, he is the writer. He's trying to describe the vision he's seen in only the terms he knows to describe it. You understand with me so far? Say amen. When I get to some of these phrases, I will stop and make sure that you understand what's going on. Some of it, I do believe it to be literal. Some of it, I believe it's the only way he knew to describe what the Lord is giving him in a vision. I want to make sure from the very get-go we understand this. We're going to introduce this book to you. It's a powerful, powerful book. Bring no pads. Be welcome to make notes. Write in your Bible. Whatever. Try not to miss over the next several months, because I promise you anything that you miss, you're going to miss a lot. Just keep in mind, this is a book to either confirm that Jesus is Lord of your life, or to tell you if he's not, the future you've got. There are two futures in this book. One for the lost. Wow. And the other for the saved. Double wow. Keep it in mind. Walk this journey with me as we go. This is a journey to believe in. I promise you. If you're ready, give the Lord a hand of applause. Amen. This first chapter, we're going to take it verse by verse. It's a great chapter. We just get introduced to the writer, introduced to the book, and introduced to what's going to happen. Chapters 2 and 3 deal with seven churches. And when we get to that, we're going to explain more about the seven churches. But for today's purpose, let's get introduced. The revelation of Jesus Christ. This first line, very important. Jesus is the author, inspiration of this book, period. No one else, Jesus is the man. Give him a hand of applause.
Amen.
Which God gave unto him to show us, or to show his servants, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Layman's terms, I'm inspiring John to write this book. Keep that in mind. Who bear record of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ of all things that he saw. In other words, I'm going to write down what he tells me. I'm going to write down what I see. Now, this is the same John who's the gospel writer. The gospel of John is beautiful. He could not have picked a better person to write this than the apostle John. All right, Brother Larry, ladies, wherever you are. Look at this verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is what?
At
hand. At hand. People ask me all the time, I really need God's blessing. Best way to give God's blessing, listen to me closely, is to walk this journey with me into this book. Blessed is the person who will take the time to read it, pray about it, understand it. This book will change your life. And if you know of anybody that you can't get here to church, you get them on the internet to follow me through this series. The last time that I had any type of preaching series on the book of Revelation, I had the biggest audience on the internet I've ever had since I've been doing this. People want to hear about this. Sometimes they don't agree with it. Sometimes it scares them. Sometimes it gives them reason to rejoice. But somehow or another, the world is interested in this book. But I want you to be more interested in the book. I want you to believe the book and believe the author and believe what it says. The blessings that's in it, the warnings that are in it. That's what I want is for you to truly understand. Look at verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to what? Come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. This is just simply to say it. This is an introduction to this big long letter, but in the very first part of this letter, he's going to address seven churches. We're going to look at it in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And in these, every church is an individual crisis in which he's going to address. And we're going to walk through that. And again, we will explain more of that to you when we get there. But there is a lot to deal with these seven churches. You're going to enjoy this journey. All right, Brother Larry, here we go. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Simply means first one to rise from the dead. Hey, that's good news. Jesus is alive. Give him a hand of applause, everybody. And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hallelujah. And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6 is just a simple way of saying, because Jesus is now on the throne of God, we can approach him as kings and priests. We don't have to go through anybody else. All we got to do is call upon the name of Jesus in prayer. He listens to us. He responds to us. He is the King of Kings. And here's the great thing. I can approach him whenever, whatever I'm dealing with. And I promise you this, Brian, on Friday when we spent 10 hours in that hospital, his presence was in that place with Ashley. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, so I am ready if you are. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. You're going to see this phrase several times in this book. Let me tell you this. This is just an introduction before we get into the meat of things later on in this series. I promise you, when Jesus comes, everybody on this planet's going to know it. Everybody on this planet's going to know it. Some are going to rejoice and some are going to cry. But everybody from the North Pole to the South Pole is going to know when he comes in the clouds.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Even so, amen, mean, just as it's written, let it happen. Let it come. Let it be today. If I'm saved, let him come today.
Amen.
If I'm lost, you better pray it's not today. But if I'm saved, let him come today and be okay with me. Verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning. beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. Now, I want you to understand something. Alpha and Omega, it'd be like the letter A to us and the letter Z. That's our alphabet. You ready to go on? In the Greek, that's the first letter and the last letter. It's a symbol of saying, I have been here before the earth was formed, and I will be here for eternity. Now this is Jesus talking. I have been from the beginning, and I will be from the end. Do you understand that? Do you see that? Give the Lord a hand of applause. I ain't going to lay everybody, whatever you are. I'm God. You also am your brother and companion in tribulation. And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, this is real neat. Let me show you something. This is John's way of saying, here's who I am. This is the same John that wrote the Gospel of John. The book of Revelation was probably written some probably 20 years after the Gospel of John was written. But basically what he's saying is, because the Gospel of John was already in circulation around in this day and time, he said this is the same Apostle John who walked with Jesus every day. Now why is this important? I want you to listen to me very closely. Because the author of this book, if he writes and he walks with Jesus, he has seen him in the flesh. He was there at the cross. He was there at the resurrection. And what he's saying is, I'm going to be here when he comes again.
Amen.
Now that is important because this is a man who's been with every step of Jesus from the time Jesus was an adult. You see why that's important? This gives you the authority of who's writing this book that we call the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is it, right here. Don't let anybody ever tell you, oh, I don't know whether or not this was the Word of God. That's hogwash. This is the Word of God in the highest form.
Amen.
Authority. Now, look at verse 10. Where is a good place to be on the Lord's day? In His house. That's right. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, he's on an island by himself. There may be a few other people, but basically, he's isolated. But he has his own way of worshiping God. He says, I'm in the Spirit. I'm in church. I'll tell you right now, the best place to get a revelation from Jesus Christ is in God's house.
Amen.
And if you miss church, there will be something wrong with you. And if you can't find it here, you find it somewhere. There's all kinds of churches in this city, in this country. Go find you one, and as long as you're teaching and preaching Jesus Christ, if you got the health to get there, you need to be there. Isn't that right, Julie? That's right. This lady couldn't wait to get back here. Been through all kinds of stuff. Couldn't wait. Comes in here in a wheelchair sometimes. Comes in here in a walker sometimes. Comes in here in a cane sometimes. Comes in here in a bad mood sometimes. But she comes to church. Give you a hand of applause. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice. If you want to hear the voice of God, the best place to hear it is in His house. I promise you that. Right here in God's house. He said it's just like a trumpet. Now, back in the day, Tony, since you're here, back in the day, Matthew played trumpet. It was pretty decent at it. Not like the piano player he is today, but he would practice this trumpet. And I want to tell you something right now. When this boy blew that horn, you could have heard it in three states. I couldn't watch a ball game. I couldn't rest. I couldn't relax. I couldn't do anything because he's blowing that trumpet. There's a reason for this instrument to be used. Because when someone can play it right, it's beautiful. When they play it wrong, oh, my legs up for a second. And the time when he would practice, when he was, you know, 8, 9 years old, he couldn't hit a note in his life depending on it. Now, when you got to be 16, 17 years old, you know, you can play it good. But you had to listen to it all to hear it. But I was no doubt when he blew that horn, Matthew was in the house. Let me tell you something. One day when the trumpet sounds, there ain't going to be no doubt. Jesus is in the house. He's coming one day. Jesus saying here, I am the Alpha and Omega. The second time you see this, basically he's saying, I was from the beginning and I will be there in the end. How important is that? Because Jesus, if he is the part of the Godhead, that means he's always been there from the beginning. Lord knows I want him there at the end. I want him there at the end of my life, at the end of my journey. I want Jesus there at the end of my journey. Because at the end of that journey begins another journey. And man, what a great day that's going to be when my Jesus I see face to face. The first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. I'm the Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Anybody want to question me on whether I pronounced them right? I may have, I may not have, but it's all right with you folks. It is, you get the point. All right. Every one of these churches, that is the same Ephesus in which Paul stayed for almost 2 years. A lot in these seven churches that we're going to look at in chapters 2 and 3. There's a lot here. Don't miss it. And I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, here we're going to get in to some symbols. Now, we're going to be very lucky here in a minute that we're going, he's actually going to tell us what this means. Sometimes it doesn't always become clear, and we have to depend on the Spirit of the Lord. But here we begin the journey, I want you to see. Now, when it says candlesticks here, basically, if you've ever gone to a wedding, you put candles, especially if it's a Trinity candle, and sometimes when you go to a wedding, brides use candles, okay? Basically what this is a stand of seven candles. That's the picture that he sees. Not just the candles themselves, but the whole entire stand. I want you to keep that in mind. Again, we're going to find out what this means. Alright, Brother Larry. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, this is Jesus, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girded about the pap with a golden girdle. This is pap's chest area. Solid white, gold, all the way around here. White symbolizing purity, gold symbolizing purity, value, the best of the best. This is Jesus. He's the best of the best. He's it. He's the man. He's the man of man, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. This is one that's in the midst of these seven candles. And in a moment, you will see why this is important. His hand, verse 14, and his hairs were white like wool. White as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. White, again, means holy, pure. This is the Holy of Holies. This is Jesus Christ. Now, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, let me try to give you a picture of this. I can tell, and most men, and men especially, will probably understand this, I can tell whether my wife is mad at me by one thing. Her eyes. And the way she looks at me. Monica talked with her eyes. Women, can you talk with your eyes?
Oh, yeah.
Kevin, have you ever had that look before? Always. That's right. That's right. We've all been there. This is the symbol of judgment. He is the Holy of Holies. We're going to worship him as the Holy of Holies. But this is also a book of judgment. I want you to get the picture. I want you to see the symbolism here. Okay? Fire Fire. See the word flame of fire? Fire means what? Hell. He is the King of Kings. And in a moment, you're going to see he controls heaven and hell both. This is neat stuff, people. Watch it with me. And his feet, like the fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. Have you ever been to the ocean where the waves were truly, really big? You can hear it for miles. Monica and I were fortunate years ago. Well, it was in 2005, February 2005. We was on the north shore of Oahu in Hawaii, where they do this pipeline surfing. It's in the wintertime. This is when the waves are the biggest. We heard these waves 2 miles before we ever got to the shore. That's how big they were. Here's what this symbolizes. When Jesus speaks, the whole world's going to know it.
Amen.
He's going to know it from top to bottom, east, west, north, south. He's coming as King of Kings. He's coming as Lord of Lords. And people are going to know it when he steps foot on this planet. All right, Brother Larry, here we go. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. Right hand, very important. Right hand is authority and honor here. In his right hand, in other words, he controls. Understand? And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. The Bible is described like this, which means these words that we're going to see, that we're going to study, will either give you glory or scare you to death. Either way, the sword is coming. It's either going to come to cut you loose from sin for eternity, or it's going to cut you down in hell for eternity. You're making a decision on what the sword's going to do to you. Symbolizing, speaking the authority of God. And his countenance was as the sun shining in the strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Well, I would too. If you saw something like that, you'd fall down too, wouldn't you? I mean, he didn't know whether he was coming or going. He didn't know what the road was. He just knew that it was time to get down on his knees. I mean, he was scared. But in a moment, you're going to see he didn't have any reason to be scared. If you're saved, you've got no reason to be scared. Listen to me closely. If you are a child of God, you've got no reason to be scared. If you're lost, you've got every reason to be scared. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. Can you imagine this? Him truly falling down to his knees, and Jesus touched him on the shoulder and said, hey, it's okay, it's me. I guarantee you, John recognized the voice. He knew the voice. He knew the voice. He said, get up, John. It's me. Look what he says. Verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive for how long?
Evermore.
How long? What's that say? Say it with me.
Evermore.
Amen. And have the keys to what?
Hell.
Let me tell you something. Your life is in the hands of God. He's got the keys to it. Let me tell you something. When you go to get into a car, now I know some of these modern cars today, obviously we know that it takes a key to start it. Now we're in the modern age where you got to push a button. You can start it with a push of a button. But one way or the other, either with keys or a push of a button, a car that sits there and won't start is useless. How many of you have ever had a useless automobile? Yeah. Brian, you've got a hundred up out there with your back, aren't you? Nothing more useless. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus is not useless because he's got the keys. He's got the keys to unlock heaven. He's got the keys to unlock hell. Listen to me closely. I want to worship the one that's got the keys. Because he's going to open the door one day, one way or the other. When you leave this world, you're going one place and you're going to the other. There's no in between. One place or the other. Heaven, hell. Death here is the great thing to tell. He controls it. He watches over it. I want to be in the hands of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right. verses that comes out. Letter. Write, here is the message to John. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things that shall be what? Hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in thy right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. The seven churches he's going to address. These were real churches, real people, in real time at that time in history. Now, one thing, when I get into these seven churches, I want you to see something. These seven churches do also understand and symbolize a real congregation with real problems, but it also symbolizes each one a piece of history leading up to the present age that we're in. When we start off, it's going to be a real church with problems that happened back many, many years ago. We get to the last church that's going to represent today's age. You want to, that seven churches of news that you've heard about it, you've heard it preached on. Because the generation we live in today, they don't know whether they're hot or cold. They're just in between. But Jesus said, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You choose today whether you're hot for me or whether you're cold for sin. But today is the day of salvation. Now, this seven stars are the personal leader, preacher, pastor, whatever you want to call them, in that local church, those seven churches. And here's what this means. He wanted this letter read aloud to these seven churches as soon as they got it. The letter was sent to the pastor, if you will, and the letter will say, read it. Get your congregation together and read it then, because the time is at hand. This is why I believe that the Lord played with one more heart to start this series today, because the time is at hand.
Amen.
Jesus is coming. First chapter, we got through it. Hope you have a little bit of an understanding of what it said. I'm going to walk you through it. I'm going to teach it to you. I'm going to preach it to you. Let me tell you something. This is one of the most important books of the New Testament era, because this book is going to tell us what's coming. And again, if you're a child of God, you've got nothing to fear. All you've got to do is praise the Lord. But if you're lost, God ought to scare you and shoot you. Understand that. Stand with me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, the precious and holy name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful book. Father, it is exciting, and yet, Father, it's necessary. We know that you're coming. May we be a biblical church with a congregation that's ready for the sound of the trumpet. The day is coming. The time is at hand. The Alpha and Omega. The trumpet is in the hands of Jesus, just ready to blow. Father, truly, bless. If there is one here today that is lost, it is my prayer today that they truly will understand. Today is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. It's today. No one has promised tomorrow. No one has promised next week. For this is the day of salvation. Father, bless this congregation. If there's someone here that needs a quiet time at this altar, maybe there's someone they need to pray for, we invite them to come. If they're looking for a good church home, we'd love them to come and be a part of this congregation. Father, we thank you. We praise you for what you're doing. May you truly bless this time together. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. We're going to invite you to come because God so speaks to you.